Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
We welcome you to our study from the Word of God. We appreciate so much your interest in spiritual things. We are so glad that you have joined us today. Today we're going to be talking about Christian growth. You know, it is so important for a child of God to grow in his faith. Of course, he must first become a child of God, and the only way one may become a child of God, and that is through obedience to the gospel of Christ. And as we regularly teach on this program from the Word of God, that simple plan of salvation involves hearing the Word of God, believing with all of one's heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus to be the Christ, and then being buried in baptism for the forgiveness of sins. It is then that the Lord adds the obedient believer to His church. It is then that the obedient believer has become a Christian, a child of God. And once that occurs, who would possibly deny that every child of God needs to grow in faith? In 1 Peter 1, verses 4 and 5, Peter speaks of the inheritance that awaits those who are faithful until death. It is an inheritance, as Peter describes it, by inspiration that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, and that does not fade away. Peter says it's reserved in heaven for you, you who are kept by the power of God, he says, through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Again, that's 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5. Peter writes that the inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through what? Through faith. But whose faith is it? Well, it obviously is the faith of the child of God. Unto salvation is in the direction of that eternal salvation that is ready to be revealed. And when will that eternal salvation be revealed? In the last day. In the judgment. When the Lord comes again to judge the world in righteousness. It is abundantly clear that the incorruptible and undefiled inheritance, heaven, awaits those who are faithful, those who grow in their faith, those who first of all come to God through Jesus Christ by faith, as we've just outlined in that simple plan of salvation given in the New Testament, and those who remain faithful thereafter, even in death. Yes, we are to grow. The Bible teaches that we're to grow in the grace or the favor of God. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear that grace is the ground of our salvation. It's the foundation of our salvation. In other words, without God's grace, there would never have been revealed a plan from God by which man might, by obedient faith, respond to God's matchless, marvelous, amazing grace. But that's the key. Our obedient faith must cooperate with the grace of God, because it is not grace alone that saves. We must have faith, and we must grow in our faith. What kind of faith is it that saves us from sin? It is obedient faith. And the Bible makes that abundantly clear. That is, that obedient faith is the only faith that can possibly save us. It is a faith that works. Yes, in James 2:24, James wrote, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." Now, the works of which James writes are not works of our own merit. They're not works by which we could earn our salvation, nor are they works of a former law, the law of Moses that has been nailed to the cross. But the works of which James speaks that are necessary to salvation are the works that God has ordained or set forth that we should walk in them. They are works of faith, because faith, in order to be effective, must work. In Galatians 5, verse 6, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Now, hear that again. What a great summary it is of everything that we are to be as Christians. He says, "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything," as some were contending as they were trying to bind the law of Moses upon Christians. He says, that's not the important thing. Circumcision or uncircumcision, it avails nothing. But here's what is important. Faith working through love. That's what avails. That's what counts for something, a faith that will work. Yes, it must be a working faith. But it also is a faith that is motivated by love. That beautiful passage reminds us that the supreme motivation for our service to God is a recognition of His love and a response on our part to that love. In 1 John 4:19, John wrote, "We love Him because He first loved us." Our faith, then, is to grow. And if our love is what it should be, we will want to see our faith grow, and we will apply ourselves to those things that will cause our faith to grow or to increase. Faith is to grow, and faith can be seen. But it can only be seen by those things we are doing in the kingdom of God, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, our Father." Faith and love, you see, may only be seen as they work in the lives of the children of God. Notice again what Paul wrote, "Remembering without ceasing your what? Your work of faith." Faith that's working. Your what? Your labor of love. Love must labor. Faith must work. Faith and love may only be seen as they work in the lives of those who are children of God. Now, in Romans 10:17, we read, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You see, faith is based upon evidence. Faith is based upon facts. And aren't we thankful that that is the case? Faith is not based upon feeling, because I might feel one way about my faith or my salvation. You might feel another. How will we settle it? You see, there must be a standard. And there is a standard. Faith is produced by hearing the Word of God, because the Word of God is our perfect standard. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, tells us that we are to desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, Peter writes. Now, if we are to grow in faith, it is going to be by feeding upon the all-sufficient, all-powerful Word of God. Notice 1 Peter 1, verse 8. Where Peter writes, "Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." You know, something we ought to want to grow in is joy. We really ought to want to become more joyous every day that we live. How is our joy, the Christian's joy, that is, described? It is joy unspeakable, a joy that cannot be adequately described in words. The Apostle Paul said on more than one occasion, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." How can that be possible? How can we rejoice always? The key is in the phrase, "in the Lord." If we are in the Lord, then we have a joy that is unspeakable. And as we learn more of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by studying His Word, we learn more about the nature of our God, who loved us and who gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16, for us. Then our joy is a deeper joy. It becomes more unspeakable every day, more indescribable every day that we live as we feed upon the sincere milk of the Word and move on to the meat, the deeper things of the Word, that we may grow thereby. Yes, we're to grow in grace or favor, but we are to grow in our joy. You know, it is sad and tragic that the world is seeking so-called happiness in so many areas where happiness, true happiness that is, true joy cannot be found. The real joy, the only joy that endures, the unspeakable joy, is found in the Word of God and in the relationship that obedience to that Word brings to us, to those who will become His children. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Well, this reminds us of something else in which we are to grow. We are to grow in holiness. But what do we mean by holiness? Well, we do not mean a so-called holier-than-thou attitude. That's not the attitude of the child of God, not at all. The attitude of holiness is one of sanctification or separation. You see, to be holy is to be separate or set apart. The child of God is to be set apart as a Christian from the world, from the ways of the world. He is not to be a partaker of the things of the world. You see, if one has been translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he has come out of the darkness into the light. The Bible says that he is to walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, as God is in the light, as Christ is in that light. We're to walk closer to God every day that we live, farther away from the darkness, farther in or toward the light, as we imitate the light of the world. You see, we're to separate ourselves from the world, and every day that we live should be a day when we resolve that we're going to be more like the things of the next world, like those who will inherit and inhabit the next world, eternity in heaven. You see, growth is a progressive thing. It's a process. We separate ourselves from the world through obedience to the gospel, yes, and we are forgiven. But we are to grow every day as children of God in holiness, to become more holy, more separate, more unlike the world every day that we live. Doesn't mean we can retain some of our sins and give them up later. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an attitude that as newborn babes, we understand that we cannot remain newborn babes, because if we do, we may not have the strength that will ultimately be necessary to endure even until death in living the Christian life, because Satan is really going to go to work on us once we become children of God. Therefore, we must grow in all of these things we're talking about here. Growing in holiness is to grow in our sanctification or our separation from the ways of the world. You see, far too many seem to want to walk along the line, as it were, and reach back and hold hands with the old life, the sinful life. But that is not to be characteristic of the child of God.